a guided meditation working with thoughts and images with Sharon Salzberg. In the last talk, we discussed the nature of delusion, the experience that we get when the mind is overcome by confusion, bewilderment, helplessness, and how that often leads to rigidity, sectarianism, holding of views to look for security or safety somewhere. The strongest force in our experience that gives rise to delusion is unwise attention. It's not seeing clearly how things are. And so we're helpless, we're overcome. We're moved about by the winds of change. Mindfulness is another way of saying wise attention. Wise attention means seeing what's happening as it actually is. Not reinforcing the illusion of a separate self. Not creating a self-image around a transitory experience. Not confusing what comes and goes as being permanent, being solid, being substantial. Not being lost in trains of association and interpretation and judgment, which make us lose touch with the direct experience of the moment. Wise attention means to see things completely, to touch them deeply, to see them as they are, not as we might make them out to be because of our conditioning, because of the past, because of our hopes, because of our fears. One of the most crucial areas in which we need to practice wise attention is in the realm of thinking. It's essential both in formal meditation practice and in life to be able to be mindful of our thoughts. If we remain unaware, deluded as thoughts arise, then we cannot see this swiftly moving pattern of identification, elaboration. We are lost, and we are led by our thoughts. To meditate upon thinking is simply to be aware as the thoughts arise that the mind is thinking, without getting involved in the content of the thought, not going off on a train of discursive association. We sometimes say that a typical 5 or 10 or 15 minutes in the life of a meditator as they are sitting will go something like this. You're sitting down, feeling the breath, and suddenly you have the thought, I wonder what I should make for dinner. And then you think, when I ate out in that restaurant the other day and had that wonderful vegetarian meal, that was really great. So what I think I'll do is, from now on, I'll become a very strict vegetarian. And then you think, well, to do that, I really need to go and buy some more cookbooks. And while I'm in the bookstore buying the cookbooks, maybe I'll buy that guidebook to Greece and also the one to Italy, because if I can save enough money and go on vacation, I'm not really sure where I should go. Should I go to Greece, or maybe I should go to Italy, or I think I'll go to Italy, that's what I'll do. And you're kind of walking down the streets of Rome in your mind, having a very nice time, or maybe not a very nice time, and all of a sudden, you come back. What's so amazing about that process is that very, very often, the last thing we can remember thinking is, I wonder what I should make for dinner. We become subsumed, overcome, lost in these trains of associations, discursive thinking. This is a very innocuous example. But that whole time we are lost, it's not as though we are not creating psychic and physical knots within our being. We might be very afraid as we are lost. We might be full of desire as we're lost. All of this makes an imprint. We're in no way talking about trying to stop the thinking process, which we could not do anyway, but rather to be aware that we're thinking in the time, in the moment that we are thinking. To know what we're thinking, to know what we're feeling as it's happening. Ordinarily, we get completely involved in our thinking. We believe it utterly, or we fear it terribly. But really, the thoughts come and go in our minds like clouds move through the sky. Not because we've chosen them, and not because we can make them go away. They come and go by themselves. There's nothing we have to do about it. We need to relate to it wisely. One of my teachers used to say, "The thought of your mother is not your mother. It's just a thought." But call someone consciously to mind and feel all the associated reactions. We create whole worlds through our minds, through our thinking. And we are oppressed by them. We're trapped in them unless we see them for what they are. We practice mindfulness of thinking so that we don't go off on these trains of association. We don't have to analyze the thought and figure out why it came, but merely to be aware at that particular moment that thinking is happening. Again, we try to use the tool of mental noting to say thinking, thinking, every time a thought comes. We observe the thought without judgment, without reaction to the content. We don't have to create an entire sense of who we are based on these insubstantial, changing patterns of thought. Sometimes the thought comes as words in the mind. It's like a subtitle in a movie. Sometimes it is not so clear and precise. Sometimes it's more a sense of imagery that arises. We see pictures, scenes, or simply colors and shapes. If imagery is the predominant experience, you might note it as seeing, seeing. Observe to see what happens to the image as you note it. Does it grow brighter? Does it grow closer? Does it fade? Does it break apart? Perhaps nothing happens. Once again, you can sit comfortably, relax, begin by listening to sound, feeling your body. Feeling your breath. You don't have to try to catch every passing thought. if thinking arises as the predominant object, then see if you can make a mental note of thinking. Observe to see what happens to the thought, and then gently bring your attention back to the breath. Sometimes the thoughts will disappear just as you note them. This doesn't mean you've pushed them away. It might mean you're not feeding it. You're not clinging to it. You're not involved with it. Sometimes the thoughts linger or grow stronger as you pay attention. But this is not necessarily because you're lost in it. Try to keep making the mental note very gently, thinking, which will express the appropriate relationship to the thought. You see it for what it is. Like clouds moving through the sky. Some are nice and fluffy and inviting looking. Some are much more menacing looking. It doesn't matter. They're all just like clouds moving through the sky. Let the thoughts come, let them go. Sometimes people find it helpful to make a mental note of the thinking process in a more precise way, to note the different kinds of thoughts, like remembering or planning, judging, wanting. If this is easy and natural, this is a fine thing to do. If you find yourself struggling for exactly the right word, it is much better to simply note it as thinking. If you find a pattern of obsessive thinking, the same thought driving through your mind again and again and again, then look for the emotional undertone. What feeling is giving rise to that thought that is arising so obsessively? Is it fear or anxiety or desire or anticipation? Drop down below the level of the thinking. See if you can find the feeling. Thoughts don't need to be treated as obstacles. They're just another object of mindfulness, of meditation. See if you can observe them with clarity. With mindfulness, not adding anything to them. Neither grasping, nor dislike, nor identification. Don't try to stop the thinking. If something comes into your mind, just let it come. Let it go. Try to make the mental note of thinking. Observe to see what happens. Bring the attention back to the breath. If you try to fight your thinking, it will create great restlessness. Like sounds come and go and sensations come and go, the thoughts just come and go. If you're not lost in them, you don't need to be bothered by them. Let them go. Don't be concerned about the content. Don't judge yourself for what arises in the mind. Develop an appropriate relationship to the thoughts. See them for what they are. If you feel confused or uncertain about what to observe, the thoughts are too fleeting, they're too vague, simply come back to the breath, back to the body. Notice how certain thoughts affect the breath and affect the body. You get very angry, or you get jealous. What happens? What's the relationship of the mind and the body? What does it feel like if you emerge from a long train of planning thought? Notice that feeling. And come back to your direct experience. Reconnect with the breath, with the present moment. Training the mind is a little bit like training a puppy. It's very lovable, but very mischievous. You'll see that the mind goes everywhere. Simply notice this. Come back to the present moment. when a particularly troublesome or difficult thought arises. Sometimes we label it as a tape. We say, oh, that's the martyr tape. That's the heroin tape. That's the I can't do anything right tape. All of these conditioned forces arise, and very often in the form of thought. If you can make a somewhat humorous note of it, it will help establish the proper relationship to it, seeing it for what it is, not trying to push it away and not hating it, not condemning ourselves for the arising of that thought, seeing that it's conditioned, it's a pattern, and still it is like a cloud that moves through the sky. We can see it clearly, we can let it go. Be creative, have fun with the notation. See the difference between being involved in one of those thoughts and being able to note it. That's the I can never do anything right tape. We surround the thinking process with spaciousness, with light, with ease, like the sky, through which the clouds can move. Sometimes we say that when a very difficult thought keeps going through your mind, add on to the label of it a statement like, the sky is blue, something innocuous. On one level, both that distressing, embarrassing, awful thought and the thought, the sky is blue, are just the same. They're impermanent. They're passing through. We can see them. We can let go of them. Sometimes we suggest, with a difficult thought pattern like judgment, that we count. Count how many judgments go through your mind in the course of a sitting or in the course of a day. By the time you get to 7 million, you'll be laughing. We cannot control what arises in our minds. We can learn wise attention. We can learn not to elaborate, not to get lost in, not to judge our judgment, our thinking, our planning. Not to identify with what's going on, to create a whole sense of who we are based on these transitory thoughts. look at how much power we normally give a thought. We're sitting happily at home, peaceful, minding our own business. We have the thought, I think I'd like some pizza. It's like the thought picks up the body. We go out. Maybe it's pouring rain outside. We drive through the hazardous conditions. Go and get the pizza, eat it, and then think, why did I do that? We did that because we weren't aware of the thinking. To be aware of thought gives us a choice. We practice simply to be aware of them. Watch them come. Let them go. And gently open your eyes. Take a few deep breaths. Feel your body. And see if you can maintain this awareness of thinking throughout the rest of the day.